This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Greetings, this is David Michael from the My Old Man Said podcast show. This is the first of two bonus podcasts entitled The LA Sessions. During the winter break, I went over to LA in the USA, and while I was there, I interviewed two villains about their experiences of following the Villa across the pond. In this episode, the first one with Bob Stevenson, just a quick heads up, something I cut out of the show, but I've put on after the end credits. I tell Bob a story which is a little on the crude side, so if you are of a delicate disposition, then just finish listening to the show when the end credits kick in. If you're not, then just hang around after the end credits. Thanks very much. Enjoy. Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. I haven't told you where I've been the last week or so, but I am in Los Angeles, and this is kind of a response to the people who have been asking for a drunk podcast. I find myself at the, State Social House on Sunset Boulevard.
In West Hollywood.
After a cigar. And what's the barman's name?
Jonesy.
Jonesy, who, if he sees your beers a quarter full, you get a new one straight away. It's like he reads your mind. It's there. It's like old school bar.
Greatest bartender in LA.
Anyway, joining me for this show is Mr. Bob Stevenson.
Bob Stevenson here.
Welcome. Who are you, Bob?
I'm Bob Stevenson. I'm an actor and a writer, massive Aston Villa fan, and I can't wait for us to stay up this year, and I'm ready to go.
We've seen you in the shadows. I remember when Villa played the Portland Timbers.
Mm-hmm.
You were kind of in the shadows there.
Yeah, I went there with
Mr. Hanks.
Yep. Yeah, we flew up there. It's funny because we were already going there because I already had tickets, and my wife's dad lives in Portland. So we were going up there to stay with them, and then Tom at the last second, like a day before, said, "Hey, we got a plane. We're gonna go up. You can be on our plane." I'm like, "We already got flights. We're gonna be there." And he goes, "Okay, great. Well, then you got to come sit with us in the owner's box." And it was very sweet and wonderful. And so we did that and all hung out together, and it was great.
So that was Tom's first game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, it started off as a kind of a joke why he got into Villa.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, have you been responsible for getting him up to speed?
I wouldn't say I'm responsible. He keeps in touch. I mean, he's really into it. I do definitely keep him up to date. I send him, you know, emails here and there and what's happening. And I saw the little faux pas. He thought we won the Carabao Cup, and we didn't win the Carabao Cup. And I had no – I didn't – that had nothing to do with me. I hadn't corresponded with him. But, you know – He's super sweet. And he's into it.
Just one thing, Bob. It's the League Cup on
the League
show.
Cup. The League Cup. Thank you. That's way better. He did that on his own. And see, if I'm not there to like supervise, that's what we get. But he's definitely into it. He's, yeah, he'll send me pictures of him watching the games and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Because I remember when it first came to light that Tom was going for the claret and blue. I sent, I think this was like 2011, 2012. I sent his son Colin a message on Twitter saying, if your dad's sworn to the allegiance of Aston Villa, who do you support? And he replied back, let's just say I never walk alone.
Yeah, he's a Liverpool guy. He's a Liverpool guy and he's an LAFC guy. He was the model for the new kit. Like he just, he literally,
yeah, saw that, yeah.
They flew him out to New York and
they had like an Adidas kind of
they pick someone different every year and he became, so we had a preseason game last week and Colin invited me and we all hung out in the director's box, which is wonderful at LAFC. And he's LAFC through and through for sure. And but he is a Liverpool guy.
Yeah.
Like
I want to talk about the LA scene in a second, but just first of all, how do you get into supporting Villa, obviously living in LA and not having any ties?
I'll tell you, I grew up
area.
Playing soccer my whole life. I played in college and then I played club here. And I was, I played in this, people in LA will know, Hollywood United. I was, I think, the only American that played on that team. It was you know, Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. Like we played with all kinds of people. Robbie Williams.
What's the name? I know about this.
Yeah, Hollywood United. Yeah. It was all kinds of people. What's the guy who played? Oh my God, what's his name? He's famous from Wimbledon. He's he's in all the Snatch movies and what's his name?
Oh, Vinny Jones.
Vinny. So yeah. Vinny played with us a couple times and stuff. Right. But that was like kick around stuff. So I played with it. But
are you any good?
So I played. You know what? Steve Jones would call me Two-Bop Bobby because it was like Two-Bop. That was always just to give me shit. But I was good. I'm not amazing, but
what's
your
position?
I mean, in college I was always a right half. I played right midfield. Played center back, but usually right midfield. I was pretty fast. Like I'm a fat kid now, but back then, because I drink a lot of beer now.
Yeah.
But back then, yeah,
and
I was
smoke cigars.
And smoke cigars. But I was really fast. So I just loved it. I loved the team aspect of it. I love team sports more than anything.
Because over here it's more of a college thing, or it's for younger people, girls and boys.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, people get into more the American professional sports later on.
Yeah, it's kind of our downfall in America because it's getting better and better now, but you guys have academies, so kids get in really young.
Yeah.
And a lot of the, like AC Milan has 3 academies over here in America now.
Oh, wow.
More and more people are opening academies over here. Indiana, by the way, it's a Villa guy. He went to one of the best academies that's in Florida, and then he moved to Villa. So there's more and more opening up over here. When we were here, most everything was like you go through college, but by the time you graduate college, you're 22, 20. You're already kind of too old, So we're behind we're way, way behind. So they're starting to get American kids into academies earlier and earlier, which is...
So how did you get the Villa bug, and what kind of points of Villa history?
The only teams that they would show over here when I was growing up were Arsenal and Man U. And I was an Arsenal fan only, not, I wouldn't say I'm a fan.
Excuse me.
I know. I wouldn't say a fan. I enjoyed watching Arsenal games because of how fun they were to watch.
For a neutral,
They're just amazing to watch. And, it's like, it's incredible football, right? It's just really fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I realized, growing up in LA has a history of very kind of blue-collar teams. Tommy Lasorda's Dodgers, the Kings, even the Lakers, it wasn't spend a lot of money. It was get a bunch of working-class guys together, get it right, and you win.
Graft.
And that's when, so I got into Villa with Gareth Barry. I got into, right before the Martin O'Neill. So it's almost 20 years, but it was...
So it's like David O'Leary.
I was like, I just didn't want to be. It's like too easy to root for those teams. It's just, I like I like the underdog. I like the team aspect. I like the, you know, and I don't know why. So I started researching Aston Villa, and I really got into the history of it, the 1874, the whole thing, like where they came from, where they were one of the originals, and the, you know, start the league. It just really.
I mean, I was an out of towner, and when I say out of towner, out of Birmingham, and for me, back in the day, it was like the players, Tony Morley, Gary Shaw, but it was also silly things like the name was completely unique,
yeah,
compared to any other city, Manchester Rovers, yeah, whatever, and the colours as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's like Hanks when Hanks heard Aston Villa. He's like, that sounds like a spa somewhere. So funny. He said that.
But it's
so
funny how it's like a primal instinct, how you can get into things like that.
But I really love the way they played together too. It was really like a unit. You know, it wasn't about buying big, fancy players. It
because
was
we
just,
couldn't.
I know. But, you know, also English soccer used to be that way.
Yeah,
you know, most English soccer was, like, mostly English players, and it was a real down-and-dirty kind of, like, different league.
Back in the day, you could get promoted, and then within a season or two, you could be challenging for the title.
Yeah.
As Villa did, when they got promoted with Graham Taylor.
In Europa League, which was, like, the worst thing that could... You know, that's the hardest thing. With, like, we always have conversations with all my Arsenal and Man City friends and Liverpool friends, you know, it's the worst. Like, it's brutal. You're not deep enough.
It's kind of like a ball and chain around your ankle.
Yeah, like I was happy when we made Europa and we lost the first game. I was like, great, get us out. I want to focus on the league, like, you know. And that's always the sad thing with all these cups and stuff. Like, you want to win some, but it's like you can't.
Bob, look, people talk about let's concentrate on the league. Fuck the League Cup. Fuck the FA Cup. But what most fans don't realise when you break it down is you win a cup, an English cup, that gets you into the Europa League. If you win that, you're in the Champions League.
Right.
You don't have to fuck around with the league.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. No.
It's like a loophole. It's a shortcut.
No, a cup is great. Europa League, though, is a long, brutal, like, it's so many more games.
But if
on
you
top
win
of
it,
FA Cup.
If you win it, you're in the Champions League.
Is that
Sorry,
even?
I'm winding you up, but also
no.
I'm
but
being
I mean, is
serious
that, but it, no, I agree. But is there really a chance you're going to win Europa League when you're that small a team in England?
I mean, I look at Wolves, and I think Wolves can beat any team in the Premier League on their day.
Yeah,
and I think if you apply that to the Europa League, potentially they're in it to win it. I mean, they're taking it seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
So there is an opportunity for them to get into the Champions League potentially easier than to knuckle down and do it in the league.
Yeah. I think for us it was that we had just gotten there, and I don't think we have nearly the team to battle.
Is this David O'Leary time or
Martin O'Neill? Gotten there, it's like I think where most Villa fans are like, you're super psyched, you're up there, and yeah, you want to be in Europa League, but I mean, we had one team. Like, honestly, our bench was like, there's no real.
The whole plan though was to get in the Champions League that time, and that's what Randy Lerner was. Basically funding for.
Yeah, but he was the worst.
And
he was so bad. Like, he had no idea.
At the start, though, his intentions were good.
Yeah,
he gave Martin O'Neill a shitload of money. I mean, my theory is Martin O'Neill hit a glass ceiling, and at a time where we were entrenched in the top four, and it was, you know, January time, Arsenal were outside it. Arsenal were buying players like Ashavin. We were buying, like, Emil Heskey.
Yeah.
And so he had this, like, English-first policy, which was good in that kind of blue-collar kind of aspect, but for that little bit extra to get you over the line, to get in the Champions League, I thought he was too old school.
But for you, where did it go wrong? Because I feel like it was the minute he sold Milner, it seemed like...
the first sign that...
Right?
Our,
I mean, but that's where O'Neill went bananas, because you're like, wait a second, this guy's clearly... He was like our Jack Grealish at that time. You're like, this guy is... And then Randy Lerner started selling players... was like, wait a second. We could build on this, and you're exactly right. You're buying Emil Heskey, but you're not buying above what we already have. You're not, you know, and not, no knock on Heskey, because Heskey in his day was great, whatever. But that's where Martin O'Neill, I think, started questioning what was happening.
You know, you've got to put yourself in other people's shoes.
Sure,
I think
sure.
Randy Lerner was thinking, well, I'm pushing all this money into this, and we've been in the top four, and then we fade out.
Yeah.
And this happened like 2-3 seasons. But the problem with Randy Lerner, I mean, since we're talking about it, is he owned the club from afar, and he entrusted Paul Faulkner initially.
And the Colonel.
And the Colonel. The football side of things was Martin O'Neill, and that was it. And if Martin O'Neill isn't working out for you, you're pretty much fucked. There was nobody overseeing it who could report back to Randy.
Yeah.
Paul Faulkner, he was a nice guy, but he was kind of, this was his first time in football, and didn't really have a grasp of the football side of things. And there was people below him who were like covering other jobs that they weren't qualified to do. And there wasn't the infrastructure there to run the club, essentially. Yeah, yeah. And this was the problem that Randy Lerner ultimately had. He didn't set up the whole football side. He entrusted it in a CEO who was kind of out of his depth, although he was a decent chap. And it all went to shit. I mean, if you look at the setup now, we have like a sporting director who's looking after recruitment. Perslow's very much hands-on, and he has experience, obviously, with Chelsea and Liverpool.
Suso and...
Valencia. So we have more of a footballing infrastructure.
Right. You look at it now and you look at them, you know, like how bare bones it was over all these years. People are now, I mean, we're taking years and years and years to actually slowly bring it back to like what a football club should be,
I think bare bones hits the nail on the head, because it was very bare. The infrastructure below Randy Lerner, above Martin O'Neill, was very bare bones.
Yeah.
And for me, it was the business side of Aston Villa that impacted on what was on the pitch, and Martin O'Neill almost was like had a dictator role, and that was kind of old school, because the manager would always run the ship.
Yeah,
and obviously we're in a different age now, and you need more people.
Well, look at all due respect to Martin O'Neill, what's he done since?
Exactly.
I mean, every place he's gone, Sunderland, same thing. You know, it's Scotland, same thing. It's like you know, he wants to take over, and it's like, no, that's not how it works anymore. You know,
he's kind of reading the playbook from 20 years ago.
Exactly,
that's how you'd run a club.
Yeah.
Before we get more into Villa,
LAFC.
The most interesting thing about LA is obviously, you know, we don't get this in the UK. Is a club can rise from nothing, and appear suddenly.
Yeah. Yeah.
LAFC have had two seasons now. I mean, I had the good fortune to meet Wes Edens and Nassif Suarez when they came to town. Like the first week they landed in Birmingham, they met the fan consultation group, and I was talking to Wes Edens and said, you know, so were you looking at MLS? And he was in talks with the Miami franchise.
Yeah.
And, you know, with David Beckham, and, you know, he took it seriously. But to him, he was looking at, where's the ceiling on this? And the ceiling is MLS. If you look over to an English club, Aston Villa, the ceiling is like Champions League.
Sure.
And it's
massive.
And he liked the romanticism and where this could go. And obviously the Champions League, even though it's a European thing, it's a global event.
Yeah, and
you get
money. I mean, it's more money. You know, that's going back to, sorry, to say like, I didn't necessarily want to be in your Europa League, because you're winning money every game you get through, every round you get through. Sorry,
peanuts.
Yeah, but it's something.
So he looked at MLS, and obviously I think this time and place he obviously wanted. I mean, this is the thing, as a Villa fan, you've always seen the potential, and Villa have been a little bit parochial in their outlook, and they don't look globally. Well, Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea are looking at the world, and it's like, welcome. The fan base grows, merchandise sales go up, and, you know, it's a cash cow. And Villa's setup now is definitely looking at the global picture more.
For sure.
But, you know, what's interesting for me is, like, MLS has huge potential going forward, because it's still, compared to the European leagues, in its infancy.
Yeah, we're babies, yeah.
So how do you become a fan of a club that's just started?
Well,
how emotionally invested do you get? How quickly do you get emotionally invested?
Well, it came out that they were going to have a new team in LA. Then it came out who the owners were, and there was a lot of money.
So it's like Will Ferrell. Is it Tony Robbins?
Yeah, Will Ferrell, but it's Peter Guber. It's. I think there's like 15 owners. Magic Johnson has a piece of it. There's a lot of big money guys part of it. And when they first came out, they said, okay, it's $100 to get yourself in the season tickets. So it popped up, and I was one of the first ones to get my $100 in.
So $100 for a season ticket?
No. It's $100 to deposit.
All right.
And then it goes, the sooner you're in, the sooner you get to pick your seats when they come
up. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll put the $100. I put it in really quick, luckily.
Yeah.
And then... little by little, it started leaking stuff. We got the crest. We got this. We saw the plans for the stadium. And it's downtown LA. which is kind of proper LA. I grew up here, so it just gets exciting as you.
Are you like in a position where there's LA Galaxy, but that's not your bag? Can you?
I've been to a bunch of LA Galaxy games. I would really support them when they were here, but I've been to get those games, and it's tough to get to that stadium. It's a long way away. The parking's hard. The stadium's not all that great, and it's like, you know, no, like LA Galaxy fans will take disrespect to this, but because they think their stadium's great, but it's not that great. And it's I saw David Beckham in his very first game versus Chelsea. I saw Galaxy play Real Madrid. Was it Real Madrid? I can't remember. I've been in a bunch of Galaxy games, and to know there's a brand new stadium being built in downtown LA that really kind of embraces, and you look at the, like I said, the crest, the colors, everything they did in the stadium, and they just did a great job of kind of bringing everybody into it, and it's the best time. Everybody I've ever brought there is to a game has bought tickets and come back with their kids.
They're a bit New Orleans Saints with their colors.
With the colors, the black and gold? Yeah, I mean, it's...
What's that? I mean, what does that derive from?
The black and gold? I really don't know. The crest is a little Art Deco, which is old school, 20s, 30s Los Angeles. But I don't know the black and gold. They came with the black and gold, which was very unique in MLS. There's not a lot. The black might be kind of old school Raiders, because Raiders used to be in LA, and there's a lot of people that are Raider fans. But I'm not. I'm a Rams fan. There we go. I got season tickets to the Rams. I got season tickets to LAFC.
I'm a Jets fan.
Nice. That's all good. But it just, the way they put it together, I tell you, I think anybody in MLS that I've talked to who's ever been to our stadium is blown away by how great the stadium is and how great the fans are. The fans are, they're rabid.
That's kind of insane to like start a club and have rabid fans.
And the first thing they did, talking to some of the guys that are in the trust and whatever with LAFC, like even with Colin Hanks, so with the kit launch, they asked, so our fans are called the 3252. Okay,
right.
3252 equals 11, which is the 11th man.
Right.
And in their section, which is standing room only, it's safe standing.
This is the only standing section on the West Coast.
It is. It is. It was the only standing in the country, but now people are doing. But like, the 3252, there's exactly 3,252 seats in that area or standing area, and so that's their only. That's their section, and they asked those guys if they were cool with Colin Hanks being the thing, and Colin is originally from Sacramento. He was born there, and they said, and Sacramento's about to get a team,
and they said
okay, if he's from Sacramento, he cannot be Sacramento FC fan. And then LAFC had to go back to Colin and say, hey, if Sacramento has a team, do you have a problem with this? Because
you've got to disown Sacramento.
Well, here's what's funny. They said, are you okay with, you can't be a Sacramento fan? And he said, okay, just during the, if you ask me to walk out on the field with the team and Sacramento's playing, I won't do it when Sacramento's playing.
Right, yeah.
So they went back to the 3252 and they said that. And they said, nope, he's walking out on the field with LAFC.
Right.
During the Sacramento. And they went back to Colin, and Colin said, okay, there you go. I mean, they give the fans a lot of input. I mean, that's
like proper consultation.
It is. From day one, they made sure it is a fan club. Like, they have a lot to say about who does what. In fact, in their section, they have their own bar that Heineken sponsors, as you think. 3252 designed the bar. They have their own bar, and no one can get there but them, because it's blocked off, because you can't. No away supporters are allowed to get in there, obviously. But they block it off, so they have their own section up there. They lower the beers before the game. Once the game starts, the beers go to normal. But they have their own bar.
They have their own microbrewery, like Tottenham Hotspur?
They probably could, but they probably could. I mean, no problem. It's like that's their. I mean, there's so many microbrews downtown that I can't imagine they won't have one. I'm pretty sure.
So how did the first season go? I mean, in terms of fans staying engaged, because, you know, fans like to win games.
Oh, no, it's packed. If you come to a game, it's packed. Like, every game is packed. Every game's sold out. I mean, the stadium only holds 22,000 people, so the away fans get one little wedge up at the very second, the very top, because everything is a season seat, and it's sold out every game. I mean, it's bananas. It's crazy. We won the league last year. We didn't. We had.
I mean, just for listeners who don't know the structure of MLS, it kind of goes into playoffs.
Yeah. So we won the league, then we went into playoffs. We lost in the playoffs, so we didn't win that. But Carlos Vela, who's our number one player, he won the Golden Boot. He had the most goals. We had the most points. We broke the record for the most points in MLS in a season. So then we went into playoffs. So if you win the league, you win the supporter shield.
Yeah.
But then you go into playoffs and try to win the cup. So we lost in the playoffs and didn't win the cup.
Yeah.
So this year is unfinished business. We got to do it. But, I mean, 2 years in, we're one of the hottest teams in the league. It's fantastic. We have owners that spend money, and we have a great team, and it's fun to watch. They play somewhat like Liverpool. We play like three up front, and they're on fire. They pound the goal. They're kind of relentless.
I mean, bringing it back to Villa, can you compare supporting the two teams? Is there any similarities, or is there anything like completely different?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, look, Villa's my first love. I'm from LA, so it's exciting to have an LA team, but I've been supporting Villa for like 20 years, like I said. So I mean, when Villa lose, my whole week sucks, you know. I'm sure everyone can identify with it. It sucks.
We live terrible lives.
It's the worst. It sucks. It kills. Like, losing to Bournemouth was like, I just was, oh my, I was so sad. My wife was so bummed to me, because I'm just an angry bear. But I love waking up. You know, games are on at 4 in the morning here and 7 in the morning here. And then most, there's only one game early like that, obviously. But like, so most of them are at 7. So I wake up early and I watch everything. And, you know, when you lose, it really bums me out. And then when I win, it's the greatest weekend ever.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But,
so, I mean, let's bring it to the present and this season so far. I mean, the context is, let's say, Christian Perslow's own admission, we're a season ahead of where we should be. At the start of the season, people were saying, as long as we finish 17th, that's all right. Problem is that those same people are now saying Smith out, Smith out.
Yeah, that's...
And what they don't realise, if to finish 17th, you've got to go through hell and back.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, scrape out the bottom three and, like, you know, survive at
the
end.
I think Dean Smith's amazing. I think most people in England think Dean Smith's amazing. I think he's... Everywhere he's been, he's a winner. And also...
Well, he hasn't been.
I think people... Well,
He never finished higher than eighth before he came to Villa.
But he does great. Those teams are great football. It's attacking football. It's fun to watch. But like,
my theory was that his philosophy needed the Premier League to kind of flourish, and I think that's where we are now.
Yeah.
And this is the debate at the moment. But it's, you know, it's early days. He's learning. You know,
it's
his
early
first
days,
season.
And we also our recipe. And we got out of the championship, and we had to buy 10 players.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not the recipe. You don't like Wolves, or you know, you come up with this team, or Leeds is going to come up probably next year and have this like really hot team because they've played together. We
scraped over the line, and we kind of
absolutely
we got promoted through the back door.
Absolutely.
That's what people kind of forget.
Yeah,
we didn't have a team like Leicester, for example, stormed through two divisions. They had that year of like where they, you know, Nigel Pearson. Yeah. Got them out of the shit they were going to get relegated, but they had a team. Not only had they the success of two promotions, but they bonded beating relegation, and
absolutely.
Then the next season they were ready to run.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're babies. Like we honestly, it's like, I mean, we're building as we go. You know, we're literally just like, oh my god, let's get to next year and get, you know, and really start to solidify this team, you know, because like right now, I mean, it's patchwork and we're trying to get through this. And I feel like, but I feel like we can do it. I feel like Dean Smith's the guy to do it. I really do. I feel like, I don't know what another manager's going to do. Like you bring someone else, like this is who you got. These are the players who you got. They play for him. They love him. I don't think that somebody else is going to come in here and change this up so much and bring people up. There's no one on the bench that's going to like really change this team.
I mean, in the context of, you know, what the English Premier League is about, which is, you know, oligarchs, oil money, signing like marquee players, it's very rare to have sorry, we said this was a drunk podcast and my drink's starting to repeat on me. Situation.
Another Lagunitas. Another Lagunitas. We need it.
A situation where you've got a manager who supports... I mean, this is romantic, but still. You've got a manager who supports Villa, like, you know, born and bred Villa. You have a captain who's come through the academy.
Born and bred,
the whole family born
absolutely,
and bred Villa.
Yeah.
This romanticism in this current day is unheard of.
Unheard of.
So this is as good as it will probably get. So if we all, you know, I'm not here to say get behind the team, blah, blah, blah. But if we go on this journey and this team succeeds, this is as good as it will get if we are successful.
That's what I think. I'm like, you can't ask for a better situation. Like, if there's any manager who wants to... Like, it's not... Like, there's a lot of managers who probably at a certain point be like, you know what? I'll get a job somewhere else. This isn't really... I mean, Dean Smith has his whole life on the line. Like, his whole life.
Exactly.
Like, this is like... This
is as good as it
if
gets.
If he fails here... That would kill him. You know what I mean? Like, he loves this team. He wants his team to win. So it's
and this is what people forget when, you know, Grealish Manchester United.
I know.
Grealish,
that bullshit drives me crazy.
This is as good as it gets. If
First
Grealish,
of all, that guy, he's not leaving. It, you know, when people say, like, oh, this is it. Okay, if we go down, that's a different story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if we stay up, there's no... He's not... like.
Let's fast forward to March the 1st. Grealish lifting the trophy at Wembley. I mean, how's he going to beat that in his life of being a professional footballer?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he'll win the Champions League playing for Real Madrid or something, but it will never be as good as lifting a trophy at Wembley
for
Villa.
What's so mature about this kid, as an amazing player is, and how good he is on the field and how he doesn't blow up and how, like, you know, beyond that, he sees the future. If he gets this team... to the next year, and this team buys players and builds on it, and then he sees this team to the next year after that, and he becomes... I mean, how many players are like that anymore? Like, that go from academy all the way through and bring them up to, like, let's say we're mid-table, like, 3 years from now, or you know, top five, six, hopefully. But I'm saying, that's... He sees that. I mean, he wants to be that guy. I mean,
and you're not going to get a player that comes in from somewhere else at Villa sign that is, however good he is as invested in this club. They'll be coming to pick up
absolutely.
A paycheck, and yeah, we might win some things and blah, blah.
Look, being from Los Angeles, that's a Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
That's Kobe Bryant.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, the kid grew up in Philly, but he was a Laker fan his whole life. If you watch any of your, he's always been, he came here and he wanted to retire here as a Laker fan. And he did. And, like, that's Jack Grealish. Grealish gets it. Like, he's like, no. I mean, there's very few people that can do that. You know, they get to be in their boyhood
people
club.
People forget about this. Like, when you get to, like, the level, I mean, social media, I mean, I stay off Twitter more and more, but the level of, like, oh, well, we shouldn't have bothered with the Leicester game. We should have, we should have rested players for the Bournemouth game. But if Bournemouth beat us, I mean, this happens, CSK Moscow, Martin O'Neill. We drew the first game against CSK Moscow in your favourite competition, Europa League.
Europa League.
So it's 1-1. You're kind of disappointed because you've got to do the business in the home leg. But you're going to Moscow and you're thinking, well, you know, the game's still alive. You look at the team sheet when it came out and it was basically under 21s and Heskey or whatever. And I saw that and I looked at the odds and I saw that the bookies they're kind of a bit partisan to English teams, British bookies, English teams. And the odds for CSK Moscow were still out there.
Yeah.
So I just I opened every free account I could where they give you a free £50 bet. And I lumped it on CSK Moscow because it's like minus 10 degrees, it's a plastic pitch, and we're playing 18-year-old players, and CSK Moscow won, you know, easiest money made.
By the way, also the travel, I mean, that's a long way. I mean,
the travel as well.
It's like, you know, it's like you're shipping kids up there.
So many factors,
back.
But the bottom line was, Martin O'Neill was saving those players to play Stoke, to keep up with the Champions League campaign.
And what happened?
And I think we were 2-0 up, and then Stoke scored two goals, like, late on.
Yeah.
So these players that were meant to be fresh obviously weren't fresh enough.
I get worried, speaking of this winter break. Like, Villa, historically, when they have time off, do not do well on their first game back. They really, I don't know why, all of the managers, every time I watch a game when we have time off, now it's a winter break, but whenever it's, you know, World Cup break, whatever, national break, whatever, they do not do well coming back from a thing. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
So what I'm saying is, just because you don't.
That's what
rest,
I'm saying. You rest players, it doesn't mean you're going to win.
Doesn't mean shit.
Doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
there's some prick on Twitter who's saying, oh, you know, we're good luck with your little trip to Wembley. But, we should concentrate. It's like, and I put out a tweet, it's better to get to the League Cup final and lose against Bournemouth than not to get to the League Cup final and lose against Bournemouth.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Because
you start,
you know, these players are pumped. They see players like Mings, players like Grealish, see there's potential here to win stuff, even at Villa.
And are you honestly, like, after that first result against Leicester, you're going to go to Villa Park against Leicester and play a bunch of kids? Are you going to do that in front of them? There's no way you're going to do that in Villa Park. You got to own your stadium.
And Villa, you know, traditionally, League Cup semi-finals, the record is astounding. I think they've lost once, and that was against Chelsea in 63, and they've won. Well, they haven't been beaten.
Do we get a trophy for semi-finals? We should get that.
We're in a bar in Sunset Boulevard, so I haven't got my statistics with me. But I think they've, like, won 8, drawn 4 of the other ties.
Yeah.
So it's no mean feat. You can't go to Villa Park and take on Aston Villa at Villa Park and beat them in a League Cup semi-final. It's only ever happened once in Wembley.
And you don't want, I mean, if you did that in front of your fans that paid all this money to come here, like,
no, exactly.
They would, like, I mean, that, you don't want that. You got to win.
You know, some people are forgetting about what the...
And that was a huge win, by the way, to beat
massive.
Leicester. Are you kidding me? Like, they're, I mean, literally third place in the league, and we beat them. We beat them. On a two-leg stretch, though, we basically beat them, which is incredible. You know,
and that is something that feeds into the confidence of the players. So when they're playing
with Bournemouth, there's a little dip
because in their minds, they know they can beat anybody in this league.
And with, like, you know, that was the highest of high. I mean, pitch is invaded. People are excited.
Looking so far this season, you're looking at the Watford. You're looking at Leicester, where we're scoring goals in injury time. I mean, at the start of the season, you know, it's lazy conclusions, like, oh, Villa, they just don't seem fit. They're losing games in the last 10 minutes all the time. But hello, the last few games we've won in injury time.
Yeah.
And these players have got the heart, they've got the battle. So that's one of the things that
feeds into this team with Dean Smith does not give up.
No,
like,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know what the statistics are. I don't have them, but, like, wait, statistics. Sorry, that's beer. That's beer talking,
he's
guys.
Slurring.
I know. That's the Cuban cigar. But, like, I don't know what the statistics are. But We have had so many late goals, and we used to.
And last season as well.
Before Dean Smith, I mean, we used to just give up. Yeah. Like, we did not. Like, once we were losing, we would not come back. Yeah. And so I always feel like if we're a goal down or it's 2-1, whatever, which is 3-1, whatever, we still have a chance, you know, and we did. I mean, man, we almost came back. You know, they got a red card. We almost came back. I mean, yeah. It was very close in that game.
It was like 50 minutes, and suddenly they were down to 10 men, and I thought, it's kind of a little test.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't quite make it, but...
we were pounding the goal. I mean, we were giving them stick.
So, I mean, I've heard Bob talking to some other people in this bar before we recorded this.
I don't know anyone in this bar. You're lying.
Never been here before. But a few people who have a passing interest in the Premier League, and he was adamant we would stay up.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to add anything to that and any reasons why?
I think that we've added a lot of good players in January, what we could. It's very difficult. I don't think that we just...
Well, we were filling in holes, obviously, because of the injuries.
Yes, but I don't think we were just doing a Fulham and grabbing whoever we could grab. I think Drinkwater would come around. I think Pepe Reina was amazing to have him in the dressing room. I think Samata, let's see, Borjan,
Samata's looking lively.
Yeah, I think, I think this team's going to come together. Dean Smith teams always do, and he said it, they always do better second half of the season. Yeah. So, like we did in the championship last year. Remember when Grealish was out? Grealish comes back. We win 10 in a row.
Well, the good news is we're only a few weeks away from our 10-game winning run.
Yeah, there we go. So I do think we could put something together. I do think we're better than the teams below us. I think that...
If I put you on the spot, who do you think will be the three teams below us, if there is three teams?
Norwich for sure. I mean, I think that's kind of easy. But it's tough, man. I mean, God, man.
Because Watford, their tails wagging.
I know, they can get hot. Bournemouth can get hot. I mean...
Brighton, I fear for them a little
Brighton,
bit.
Brighton, I fear for them as well.
I want West Ham to go down. I'll put
Me
that
too.
Out there.
I do. Me too. I want that. I want Newcastle to go down, but I think they're starting to kind of like... It's tough because Steve Bruce... Even though I love Steve Bruce, and look at what he's done in Newcastle. He's won more than...
We were saying in previous shows that Villa tend to beat, apart from Bournemouth, they tend to beat the teams around them, while Newcastle just tend to beat the top six teams.
Yeah, they do. They go. It's crazy. They show up in the biggest games. It's bananas. But I don't know. It's really a coin flip. I mean, it's really tough. But that's why you like the Premier League, right? I mean, like anybody can beat anybody. Honestly,
No, well, that was the cliche about the Championship.
Yeah,
anybody can beat anybody.
It's true though. And Championship is tough. I mean, especially because there's more teams and you're playing. Like,
so, as a US based fan, was there any difference following Villa in the Championship in terms of accessibility? Following Villa in the Championship to the Premier League?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I could only watch games on my iPad. I have to watch in the Championship, I have to watch everything on ESPN Plus, and that's it. Well, now I get to watch, now I get to watch some of them on TV, but most of them I still have to watch on my iPad because it's NBC owns it here, so it's NBC Gold, it's called, so I have to subscribe to that as well. So, but I watch them on my iPad in the morning, and because we're Villa and we're kind of low, they don't put us on TV a lot. So I do get to watch some of them on TV, which is cool. But I watch them all. I watch iPad or usually what's great is if it's on the iPad, I'll mute whatever team NBC is playing on big screen, so I can watch two games at once, basically. But
so I mean, personally, what's been your favorite moments as a Villa fan in the last 20 odd years?
Oh, geez, what was the game when Ashley Young scored that goal?
Everton.
Yes.
Away.
That was incredible. That was like, I mean, that might have been my most euphoric. I mean, that was like when he broke out and he goes there and he's one-on-one with the keeper and he fucking puts that goal. That was incredible.
Well, you've never won anything since you've supported
Ashley
Villa.
Young, no.
Apart from the Peace Cup.
No, that's it. Yeah, but I stay strong. You know what's funny is I watch Villa games all by myself. I don't know one other Villa fan other than my buddy Craig Rook, who has moved from LA. Now he's in Austin, so now we text during the games.
Right.
And it's like, and he grew up in Birmingham. He's a big like he went to Villa games his whole life.
Right.
And now he's an actor and he's in Austin, and he's my only Villa fan. And literally, like, so I'll go. I went down to the local British pub here, Fox and Hounds, and when we played Chelsea, and it's me and all Chelsea fans. So I have to sit there, and when we score, I'm like, boop, 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 boop. And they're like, and you know what? You know, the kind of respect you get when you're the only guy in there, like, cheering for it. They're like, okay, you know what, mate? I get you.
Yeah,
I get you. You know, but I do it. I stay strong, and I'm like, you know, I love that team. I mean, I flew out to Minnesota to watch them train, and it was the best time. We had, you know, all the California Lions, as they're called. That's the club here. They're all from San Francisco.
Is there many based in L.A., though? They're mainly San Fran.
Nah, those all San Fran,
yeah.
So I don't see them much. But, you know, they're really into it, and they fly out to Villa Park all the time and watch games, and they we had a good time. There was a lot of us in Minnesota. It was fun. Yeah. I was right down in the tunnel. I was like high-fiving Grealish and high-fiving McGinn when they coming in. And I was like,
he's a mover and shaker.
Oh,
this
man,
boxer.
It was great. It was awesome. It was the best.
But I mean, the good news is we have a, and this is what people fail to remember, is we're actually in a final and we actually have a chance to win something. And when you win something, I mean, I'll go on record now. I'll take winning the fucking cup and getting relegated. I don't care. But what most people don't realize is they're not mutually exclusive. You don't have to win a cup and then automatically you're relegated.
Yeah,
you can stay up and win the cup.
Why not?
That's what happens.
Yeah. It's one game. It's one game. It's one more game.
How do you see that going? I mean, let's talk about that game quickly as we say goodbye.
I am scared after getting trounced 6-1.
Yeah.
But I don't know what City's playing for, and
they've got to play Madrid,
and they got to play Champions League right before that. And but also, I mean, they've won it how many times already?
Two times on the trot. So maybe they're getting bored of winning it.
They might want to do it again. But Pep seems kind of bored. I mean, other than Champions League, I think that's huge. He hasn't won that with City, right? So
yeah.
I think he's going to go after that.
At the start of the season, on the podcast, we were talking about, you know, he's going to win the league, blah, blah, blah. I think the other two guys said Manchester City. I said Liverpool, because Liverpool are so focused.
Oh, my God. They lost by 1 point last season.
They lost one game, and they won the Champions League, which suggests they've got the pedigree.
They basically won it. And I have a lot of Liverpool fans, and I would say if I have a second team, it'd probably be Liverpool.
Right.
Because my friends are Liverpool fans. But I get really angry when my Liverpool friends are, like, saying that, well, let's just hold on. We don't know. It's like, no, you know.
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, come on.
It's bullshit.
It's like, I think you got it. I think we're cool. I think we're cool here.
I don't want to curse anything.
Shut up. I think we're good. I think we're good.
City's focus, Pep's focus, is to win the Champions League. And I'm hoping that gets into a situation when they play Madrid.
Yeah.
That becomes such a focus that they take their eye off the ball a little bit.
I'll say this, man,
and they are beatable this season.
I'll say this: there's no better time to be an underdog in City.
I really
think that. I'm not just being glass half full. I think we got a chance. I really do.
Looking from a Villa point of view, you're looking at a team where, just off the top of my head, like half the team at least played at Wembley last season, so it's not as if they're going to be in awe of the occasion. And that was a game where that's more of a pressure. This is almost like a free hit.
Yeah, is like, dude, you have nothing to lose. Go out and play.
Last season was like our asses were on the line, because if you lost that after losing,
there's
it,
no more
the season
pressure
before,
than that. There's no more pressure than that. That final, like, are you kidding me? Most expensive, like, richest
we'd have
game
lost
in
Grealish,
the world.
We'd have never seen Mings again. We'd have lost McGinn.
I mean, now you're like, dude, who cares? Go out and just have fun and kick ass, like whatever. I mean, I would say,
and we're talking about Grealish, who's played there. He's played there four times, so. And it's his stage. He's going to be more.
He'll be in the dressing room calming everyone down.
He's going to be on it this time more than ever.
But relegation scares me more than anything.
Yeah.
I just want to stay up. If we stay up, I think we're going to be great. I just want to stay up. We just got to get through this season. I think we can.
History dictates teams that get promoted, sometimes they have a rough season the next season, and then the season after, it's a different story.
Yeah, because you just get through that. You know, first of all, the first half of the season, what I tell my friends, because everyone gives me shit because I'm a Villa fan, so they're always like, oh, yeah. I'm like, listen, we haven't played half of these teams. We haven't played these teams before. We haven't even been to these stadiums before. I mean, most of the people on this team have never been to Spurs Stadium or West Ham. We don't play these teams. And that's we get oddly an FA Cup here or there, which is a round here or there, which we didn't. But, you know, for 3 years we're in the championship. We don't play these teams. So these are – it's all new. It's all new environment. It's all new players. It's a different level, of course. But now – we're second half of the season. We've seen all these teams. Everyone knows what to expect. So I feel like we're settling in, and we'll see what happens. I try to be glass half full about it.
I think it's the best way to do it. And just logic dictates this is a new team, and the more games you have, the better you
together for gel, sure, cohesive, and
that's where you're going to get better in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much for joining us, Bob.
Heck yeah. Let's go have another beer.
And we've got cigars to smoke and beers to drink. And I wouldn't have done this unless I was goaded by various people on the Mad Few Facebook group saying there should be a drunk podcast.
Heck yeah.
So here we are in LA, and I look forward to coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And until then, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.
What was the game when Ashley Young scored that goal?
Everton.
Yes.
Away.
That was incredible. That was like, I mean, that might have been my most euphoric. I mean, that was like when he broke out and he goes there and he's one-on-one with the keeper and he fucking puts that goal. That was incredible.
I was living in France at the time, in Paris, and I was watching it.
Oh, you're going to brag. Go ahead.
No, I'm not bragging.
Fancy.
I was watching it in a Belgium. I just remember where I was. Watching it in a Belgian bar, like celebrating like madness. And then the next day, I had to interview Clive Owen in London. So I got the Eurostar. Clive Owen, actor, massive Liverpool fan.
Huge
Liverpool fan.
So he must have been so happy.
if he was filming in like Morocco or something, he would get them, because obviously he'd got a bit of gravitas. Yeah, he would get them to set up a tent. And if Liverpool were playing, he would have it like set up.
Yeah,
so he could watch Liverpool play in like a Moroccan desert.
That's my friend who's a producer. And when they were in the Champions League years ago, he did the exact same thing when they were on a location. They got TV.
I think he told me he was watching that when they were 3-0 down and they came back to 3-3. He was watching that in LA, I think. And Mickey Rourke was with him because I think they were doing Sin City or Sin City 2.
Fancy pants.
And because I interviewed Mickey Rourke and asked him, I said, you watched the Champions League? He said, yeah, fucking Clive Owen.
Was that before the cheek implants or after
mental.
The cheek implants?
We're not going to go into that. I've got a story about that. I'll tell you after when a journalist asked him about that.
Oh,
and,
God.
It's a great...
Puts him in a headlock.
I'll tell you now. I don't know, you know, this may not be of interest to you because you might not be a film fan, but Mickey Rourke, Google him, he used to be a legend, he used to be the most handsome guy ever. Oh. He was like a man's man. Anyway, he didn't really get on with producers or he didn't really get on with the system, so he kind of dropped out and basically didn't get the roles because he pissed off a load of people. Anyway, fast forward, gets a role in The Wrestler, Renaissance, Oscar nomination. The Wrestler's at Venice Film Festival. I'm there, and somebody told me this because this wasn't my interview. You do these round table interviews where there's like 8-10 journalists around the table. And there was this Italian woman there. Some European journalists are a bit literal. There's no sense of humor. They're not really present. There's no empathy with who they're talking to. It's like a star, and that's it.
Right,
it's not like a human being.
Yeah.
And so Mickey Rourke, great interview. He's open. He's like, he's brilliant interviewer. He probably made more money out of a Mickey Rourke interview ever than anybody else I've spoken to. But anyway, thank you very much. But I gave him a packet of cigarettes once, so he does owe me. But anyway, The publicist came in and said, one last question. I can't believe I've always wanted to tell this story on a podcast, but I never thought I'd get to say it on a football podcast. But anyway, the publicist comes in, one last question. And the Italian woman said, Aramiki, you never talk about this. And she started like touching her face,
pulling her cheeks out.
She goes, you never talk about this. What is it? A plastic surgery? What is it? And he says, fuck you, lady. Fuck you. I don't ask you about the size of the last cock you had in your mouth.
Oh, God.
Fuck you. And he just walked off.
Oh, my God. Well, that was the last question.
But it was a great response. I don't ask you the size of the last cock you had in your mouth.
That's so great. I got to use that.
Yeah, no. It's,
when I get cheek implants, I'm doing that.
Like at the, you know, family Christmas get together.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.